Today on Real Radio.
The man said, I beg you, Father Abraham, that you would send him to my father's house. Now, the man's not only concerned about ministry, he becomes super compassionate and very burdened for the souls of his brothers. Is hell filled with people who are full of regrets?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're looking at a section recorded in Luke chapter 16 where Jesus tells of a couple of people who die and go to what's called Abraham's bosom. Now, some consider this a parable, others don't. Either way, there's a whole lot to be learned from this passage, as always. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable That's Not a Parable.
See, you and I focus so much on the temporalness of this world. Jesus put it this way. You guys worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to do. He said all these things the unbelievers seek after. Think of it. That's kind of how we're programmed. We're programmed by the world. And Jesus says, whoa, it's passing. Peter tells us in another place that this world and all that is in it, the elements will someday melt with fervent heat. And seeing that this is the end, what manner of persons ought we to be? The answer is a Christ follower. Why? Because we have the opportunity tonight to make a decision to live for God. And that decision will literally affect us and for us in eternity. Listen, I'll put it to you like this. You can go down to the bank tonight and make a deposit in your bank. And tomorrow morning, wake up to find out that the entire financial world has collapsed. And what you put in last night flew away while you were sleeping. It's no more. Are you with me?
Yes.
But what you deposit spiritually cannot be affected by the things of this world. And this is the challenge for all of us, to think carnally or to think spiritually. How are we living? Are you living for the gusto? Now, I just showed you my age. I'm going to grab all the gusto I can. I don't know what gusto is, but it was the same. I said it a moment ago. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. Whatever it is. Boom, whoa. It's all. I heard a commercial tonight, putting my shoes on, about this commercial was all about, it was amazing. I should have taped it. It was all about, you really need this for you. You should have better. It's all about you, and you deserve, and you, and I'm putting my shoes on and just going, in this. I mean, in 5 seconds, they must have said you like five times. You. And listen, that's, again, look, if you live for you, Jesus said, if you live to find your life, you're going to lose it in the end. The greatest way, he said, to find your life in reality is to give up your life for him. Think of it. No, are you happy, really? You've lived your life for you. I'm so about me. Are you happy? Well, when, you know, at certain times, why not be happy all the time? Forget about you. Find out what Jesus wants to do, and it's true happiness. It's absolutely amazing. Reality. Listen to this. Verse 22 says, and so it was that the beggar died. The poor man died, and I love this, and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, or paradise. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked. I only have a few hours left to teach this, so I want to watch everybody. Watch. Before Jesus died, the Bible teaches of a place called paradise, or the Jews called it Abraham's bosom. So what is that? Father Abraham. It meant that you were comforted by the patriarchal father of the faith, Abraham. It's a Jewish term. It's very sweet. It's very cool. Okay. So it was believed that as a Jew, when you died, you were greeted by Abraham in paradise. So Jesus is speaking their language, okay? But there is an absolute truth and reality to this. Prior to Jesus' resurrection from the dead, when a believer died, think of Noah, think of believers before Christ rose from the dead. Where did they go when they died? They went to paradise. They were fully awake. They were in what is here referred to by Jesus as Abraham's bosom. Absolute beauty, absolute comfort. It's also referred to as Hades. You think of Hades, right? And you think of hell and burning. That's half truth. Watch this. In that location, the Bible says that there was the comforted, and then there was a huge gulf, a great Grand Canyon, so to speak. And on the other side, there's the Hades that you're thinking about, Sheol, the torment. Watch this. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that is, his body died, remember this, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, for example, that Jesus Christ descended and led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. It's what a conquering general did in the first century Roman Empire, that when a general conquered a city or a state or whatever it is, he got back all of those that represented his kingdom. He got them all out of the prisoner of war, for example, and took them back to their country. The Bible says that Jesus went and preached to the souls that were in hell. That's interesting. And he led captivity captive. What did he do? When Jesus died on the cross, and listen, before his resurrection, he would have descended into this place called Abraham's bosom. He would have announced to them, I'm the one you were waiting for. Are you guys ready to leave? Yeah, we're ready to go. That's why Jesus is also the first fruit from the dead. Remember when the other Lazarus in our Gospels, Martha and Mary's brother died? He wouldn't have gone to heaven. He would have gone to paradise if he would have stayed dead. Do you remember the thief on the cross? What did Jesus say to him? Very, very interesting. I want to hear it. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus didn't say heaven. Because Jesus was going to paradise first, then to heaven. The thief on the cross couldn't go to heaven before Jesus. Because Jesus is the first fruit from the dead. Jesus had to enter heaven first. The first resurrected human being was Jesus Christ. Think of it. It's so cool. He, like a conquering general, takes captive all those who believed in him. Noah, Abraham, David, think of it. They're all down there. And the thief on the cross was with Jesus. He's the guy that spent the shortest amount of time in paradise. Would you like to have something to drink? I'm just here for a second. Can you imagine? And so Jesus takes them into his care and announces also, at least it's very strongly believed, that in taking those that are his who believed in him, he also announced to those who were in Hades, I'm the one you should have believed in. Because the Old Testament was all about him. They're still there tonight. They're in Hades tonight. They're in this place of torment. On the other side, paradise, it's completely vacant tonight. Why? Because now when the Bible says, you're going to get so smart here in about 3 seconds. Now it is true, to be absent from the body is to be present with
the Lord.
Where's the Lord? In heaven. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
That's why the Bible tells us in the end, Hades and death will be scooped up and put into the lake of fire. Completely different. You guys are brilliant. Interesting, just a little observation. The poor man who apparently had faith and had repented of his sins, we'll see this in a moment, was escorted at death, right? The Bible tells us the rich man was simply buried. One was in paradise, the other one was in torment. One was with Abraham, and as you read this, the other one was definitely not with Abraham, because it says that he saw Abraham afar off. Very, very interesting. Verse 24 teaches us that God's mercy, listen to this, God's mercy at the end of our lives, listen everybody, God's mercy becomes irrelevant. Did you hear what I said? Can you say that? I'll say it again. God's mercy becomes irrelevant. Why? Because you're dead now. You've died in this body. Listen, you won't need mercy. Watch everybody. You won't need mercy in heaven, will you? No. The need for mercy is now. Watch this. In fact, let me read it. I wrote it, and I'll mess it up. 1 second into eternity, and prayer becomes irrelevant. Think of it. Nobody's praying in heaven. You just talk to God. You're not in heaven praying. 1 second after you die, prayer becomes irrelevant. In heaven, you don't need anything. You don't need to pray about anything. In hell, no one's listening. I wrote that down. Did you like that? I wrote that. 1 second into eternity, mercy becomes irrelevant. In heaven, it's perfect there. In hell, mercy's not available. It's just not available. 1 second into eternity, and water becomes irrelevant. In heaven, it's everywhere. In hell, there's a drought. This man says, crying out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. That's not possible. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Impossible. There's no mercy there. Do you think for a moment you can sin against God, live your life godless, and think in the end you're going to what? Snap your finger at the last breath of your life, in the last moment, pull up, enter into heaven. How do you know that? How do you know you're not going to have a heart attack any second, get hit by a truck? How do you know that? You don't know that. And the Bible makes it very clear. It's over for you. 1 second into eternity, and you'll either be in heaven with God, in absolute paradise, and it's 73 degrees. I'm making that part up. I don't know. Or you're in hell where it's burning hot. There's no hope. There's no mercy. There's no prayer to be answered. Apparently, there's no way for you to even cool the tip of your tongue. And don't think for a moment you're going to get off the hook by you thinking, well, I don't believe in a God who would create a hell like that for me. He didn't create a hell like that for you. You are so rebellious against him that you have decided that you're going to go live in a hell that was created for Satan. That's what the Bible says. You don't want anything to do with him. You're rejecting him. And you don't want him in your life. I don't want anything to do with him. And God says, okay, I'll answer this one prayer for you, okay. You don't have to have anything to do with me. I'll answer that. I believe those words will be haunting in the minds of people forever. They'll blame nobody in hell. The end of our lives, verse 25 to 26, will that be your final answer? Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received all that which is good. Now look, here's the thing. It's not that the rich are going to hell and the poor are going to heaven. The point is this. Verse 26 says, and besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf. It's fixed. So those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. It's over. It's final. That is a tragic thing to consider. What is your final answer regarding Jesus? Verse 27 to 39, forever is the most important thing. It's the most important thing you'll ever do. It's the most important thing you'll ever experience. Forever. Forever is real. Think of it. See, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, okay. I mean, you will, but let's just... There's enough going on in life. You've had enough things happen in life where it flirts with your thinking. And I know, I've read all this stuff, because have you ever, this thing called deja vu, you ever heard of this stuff? It's like, this is really weird. I feel like I've lived this moment before. That person's going to say this word in about 3 seconds. Oh my gosh, that's so weird. Am I having a stroke? What's the problem? Wow, this is weird. Have you ever heard that's And psychologists will say, well, it's actually the bifurcation of the frontal lobe memories. And nobody knows what it is. People like to talk about it. Cardiologists will say, you're actually having a little bit of a stroke, heart failure thing, and you're not processing time properly. You're having like a little seizure thing in a warp speed. Nobody knows. Have you ever been in an accident? We were T-boned on Beach Boulevard going to the beach one day. Going right through the intersection. And you look like this. I was like 14. I wasn't driving. I was 14. I was on the passenger side. I was crazy, but I wasn't that crazy. And I remember looking at the person driving. It was my mom. My friend's in the back seat. Hey, whatever. What? And I looked right past her, and there's a car going right through the red light, coming right at us. Have you ever been in a big accident? Listen, those of you who've been in a big accident, raise your hands. What are you guys, crazy? You've all been hit by somebody or something. Does time speed up or slow down? Oh, let me hear it again.
Slow down.
One more time.
Slow down.
Wow. Well, that's because your brain is trying to process it. Listen. That look, you. I saw this car coming, and all of a sudden, and all of a sudden, you know what I'm talking about? But listen, was your brain working normal speed? It's like, oh my God, we're gonna go, and the whole thing's, and the car hitting the glass, and you're like, oh my God, you're totally engaged, full speed, and everything around you is going so slow. This is my interpretation. I believe that was the mercy of God. If I would have died that day, I would have gone straight to hell. I believe that God in that moment, my brain was so thinking so fast and all the stuff around was moving so slow. I think that was God's mercy. And that kind of weird thing going on, I think those are little glimpses of God telling us, you better wake up to the fact that there's a spiritual world outside of your little game you're playing. I think it's dead. I think it's absolute serious. In verse 27 to 28, hell at all costs, my friend, is to be avoided. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, listen to this man. All of a sudden, the man in hell becomes very concerned about ministry. Notice this is valuable stuff. You can't buy this in a college. You can't get this from any school. Jesus Christ himself is letting you and I in on an invisible scene that I believe really happened. The man said, I beg you, Father Abraham, that you would send him to my father's house. Now the man's not only concerned about ministry, he becomes super compassionate and very burdened for the souls of his brothers. Oh my goodness, church. Is hell filled with people who are full of regrets? For I have 5 brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. The book of Revelation 20, verse 11 says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens had fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades were delivered up, the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Wow. And Abraham says in verse 29, these are warnings that are to be heeded. Listen to this. This is the eternal answer. This is the answer from God to you tonight. You have Moses, you have the prophets. Better listen to them. And the man says, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. Now we know the issue. There it is, circle it. The issue is not rich or poor. The issue is not eating sumptuously or eating crumbs. There it is. This man never repented. He never saw himself as the one who did the wrong. He never saw himself in need of the Savior. He always justified his situation and blamed it on others. Never took responsibility for his own filthy thoughts or her own selfish actions. And the man, it slips out from eternity. Send somebody to my family so they don't wind up here. Maybe they'll repent. Repentance is impossible without Moses and the prophets. Churches are gathering together around the world and in America, and they have people attending, and they've never repented, and they're going to wind up in hell just like this guy because the pastors and the preachers never talk about Moses, and they never talk about the prophets, and they'll never mention the word repent. We end here. Jesus, my friend, did all that was needed. And so he said to them, if they do not hear Moses or the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. I wonder if Jesus was pointing at himself at that second, if one would rise from the dead.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable That's Not a Parable, taken from Luke chapter 16. The Parable That's Not a Parable is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of lessons called The Parables of Jesus,
which I know I've enjoyed, and I hope you have too. Now, don't forget that you can get this entire series if you'd like. You can listen to it again or share it with some friends. Get it at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Coming up in the next weeks, we are excited that Pastor Jack will be starting his You Need to Know series. This is a good one. Now, this series is one of those that's great for the new believer and the person who's been walking with Christ for a long time. This series covers a lot of things that you really should know as a believer. Things like what salvation actually means, what's in store for our future, and the truth of the gospel. That's the You Need to Know series, and it's coming starting in this new year, so tune in because you don't want to miss that. And from all of us here at Real Radio, we'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Now, I have Pastor Jack here in the studio with me. Pastor Jack,
I know you've always got your finger on the pulse of things to read and things to watch and whatnot. Is there anything special you'd like to throw out to our listeners today, just for grins?
Yeah, you know what? Recently, we've been talking about the church and all and various topics. I want to encourage all of you to just take advantage of a resource that is out there. It's a lot of fun. I share it with a lot of young people. But it's just a blast, everyone. Take the time to write this down. If not, you can visit our website and get the details more if you miss it. But I'd like you to go start checking out on a regular basis a website called gotquestions.org.
I'm putting it in my notes right now.
Absolutely. Gotquestions.org. It is a wonderful, quick reference, safe. It is, when I say safe, I mean it is conservative, biblical, Christ-honoring, God-exalting, high view of Scripture website where you can read on any topic. You can put in homosexuality, baptism, church, evolution, environment, death, heaven, hell, angels, demons. You can put it in there and you're going to be given about a 3 to 4 minute Bible study on that topic. It's a whole lot of fun. It's great to use as a conversational piece with believers and non-believers alike. Gotquestions.org. I highly recommend it. Go there and make it your own.
Gotquestions.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.